Hi, I'm Sifu Henry Araneda. I'm the founder of the Ultimate Martial Arts Academy, and with over 20 years of teaching experience, I've become obsessed with helping people improve their Wing Chun knowledge and skill by teaching them how to approach their training efficiently and effectively. I've created the Wing Chun by Design podcast to give you step-by-step strategies to take your Wing Chun to the next level. So guys, let's get started. Hi guys, welcome back to my show. Today's episode is all about Wing Chun strengths. Now, before we dive into it, I'd just like to thank you all for showing me your support by listening and watching these podcast episodes. So if you haven't watched the previous one on the Wing Chun Wooden Dummy, I highly suggest you do so. I'll post the card up here so that way you can check it out. And don't forget, guys, that on a weekly basis, apart from my podcast episodes, you can find my Wing Chun tutorials and shorts. So guys, let's dive into today's episode. Wing Chun strengths. I'm going to point out five key strengths or five key points that I find that are crucial when learning Wing Chun. So, number one, the main characteristic behind the Wing Chun system is speed. By understanding this concept, this principle, you can outspeed your opponent if used correctly. Now, what do I mean by Wing Chun speed? I don't only mean physical speed, but also speed of distance, speed of readiness. Okay. Now, once you understand this, then it gives you a whole different perspective to your own training because you don't need to rely on brute strength to be able to overcome your opponent. So I'll dive into that in just a moment. So that's number one, speed. Number two, I just mentioned that you don't rely on strength to be effective with your technique. Number three, it's simple and effective. Actually, it's very effective if used correctly. Number four, Wing Chun becomes reactive, okay, with repetition. And number five, it's a culmination of all these other key points. It builds your confidence. Okay, so let's dive into number one, with speed. Now, if you're in Wing Chun, you're involved in learning and practicing Wing Chun, you'll know that the main theory behind the Wing Chun system is the centerline theory. So that's the shortest distance between point A and point B. That's a straight line. That is the centerline. So when you apply the centerline theory to every technique you do, you will always have a better chance of outspeeding your opponent. To keep it simple, you're launching a hook to my face. I'm going in with a straight vertical punch to your nose. Chances are I'm going to reach you before you reach me. Okay. If you're coming at me with a round kick to my head and I'm going with a straight kick to your knee, chances are I will reach you before you reach me. So just keeping it in very simple terms, that's how you would start to apply the centerline theory. Now, when you start to practice and really understand and try your best at applying this theory, this principle, that is when you start to gain speed. Okay, some people are naturally fast. Others, they really need to work on it. But eventually, the goal is to become much faster when you try to apply your techniques. Now, when I say you don't rely on strength, I mean to be effective when using your technique, that is where you don't need to rely on physical strength to be able to effectively apply the technique. Now, let me give you an example. If you're listening to me on a podcast, and I want you to visualize, someone's coming at you with, say, a punch to your face, a straight punch to your face. If I am trying to redirect that punch only using my arm, let's say I'm using my forearm to try and lift that arm, then I'm using my arm power to deal with an incoming punch using whatever power the opponent is using at that given time. So for me to use that, I need to rely on the strength that I'm applying with my arm. But what happens if the opponent is stronger than me? I might have difficulty using that technique. But if I, say, redirect the attack by me sidestepping, and all I do is just use the incoming force to just move it away from me, and then I can simultaneously hit back, say with a pakta, then that is how I am being effective when applying the technique without using brute strength, because I'm just using your own strength against you. Your incoming force, I'm just moving it out of the way. I'm actually moving out of the way as well, and then I'm counterattacking. So when you simultaneously defend and attack, that is also a key element when applying speed with your technique, because you are no longer using the 1-2, you're using the one beat where you defend and attack simultaneously. Okay. Now, when talking about strength, can you use strength is a follow-up question. Absolutely. Of course, you have to use your own strength. What I'm saying is you don't rely on strength to be effective. Now, that same example, when I'm using the pakta, the paksal and the punch, should I use strength when I punch you? Well, use common sense. Of course, I have to use strength to punch you. When I redirect, you're going to fall into my punch. So that's where I'm also using your own strength against you, because you're going to walk into my fist. But if you're a strong person, of course, use your strength. You don't want to hold back on your strength. And that's also a benefit of training. You will get stronger. Your body will adapt. Your tendons, your muscles, your bone density, everything will just get better with time. Now, if you learn to use your horse, your stance, in conjunction with your upper body, your hips, your shoulders, and your arms, that is when you find that connection, and that connection brings out explosive power. So that's what I've got to say in regards to strength. Number three, it's simple and effective. Yeah, you don't want to use too many movements against a single attack. I've seen out there Wing Chun people use so many movements against a single punch. Okay, you cannot apply 2, 3, 4 movements against a single punch. Of course, it works really well in practice at the school when the person is playing along and just standing there for you to do all your different movements in your sequence, but you have to be realistic in your approach to your training. It won't work. The best thing you can do is put some gloves on. If you've got a helmet, like with a face protection, put it on. Ask your training partner, hey, could you please feed me that same punch, but realistically? Put in all your speed and maybe hold back on the power, but try to get me. And then see if it works for you. See how many movements you can pull off against that single punch, hook, kick, elbow, knee that's coming at you. So simple and effective. Okay, let's go back to the pakta. If you always have someone feeding you a yatsi chong choi, the thrusting punch, and they're holding back in the sense that they're punching 40 centimeters away from your face, and you're doing your paksal, and your punch is about, same, like 40, 50 centimeters away from the face, you may think you're able to pull that off in a real situation, but chances are you're not, because there's no real commitment to the attack or the defense. So what you want to do is test that technique. Same as what I just said before, have the person really try and reach you. So I always encourage my students, even if they're at the beginner level, to try and reach the target. So if you're working on defense against a straight punch to your face, have the person attacking step into you and try and reach you. Even if it's just your upper chest and not your face, but see if they can touch your upper chest when they're coming in with that punch, and if you're able to counter that movement. That is when you will see if that simple technique, that simple movement is effective because of how you can pull it off. Okay, and then once you do that, then the follow-up is, you know, up to you, with depending on the level that you're at. So it has to be simple, it has to be effective, and please use common sense when learning, okay? There's nothing wrong with asking questions to your sifu. It doesn't mean question them okay? We always want to show respect to our teachers, but there's nothing wrong with asking questions. I always encourage my students to ask questions because chances are in a room full of students, when one student has, you know, the courage to ask a question, many times he or she is asking the question that many other students have in their mind, but they don't really feel, I don't know, comfortable speaking up, or they don't want to feel silly. But I encourage you all because, look, in a Kung Fu school, it's a family. So everyone's there to learn, to express themselves, and to get better. So that's what I have to say about that. Now, number four, it becomes reactive with repetition. Repetition is the key. You don't want to practice one thing just touching the surface of it. You want to get in deep. And how do you get in deep with any given technique? Doesn't matter if you're punching, kicking, doing parks, or even chisao. You want to work on repetition because you want to build good habits with repetition. You want to make sure that muscle memory kicks in because the day when you need to use it in a real situation, you won't have time to prepare. You won't have time to warm up, to stretch. You just have to go from 0 to 100 like that. You just go. And how will you go? You will go with your own habits. So that's why training at the school, giving it your all, 100% every single time is crucial. It's the key between being successful protecting yourself and not. And guys, we train for self-defense. So that means that's the difference between you having a confrontation and going home or you going to the hospital. So just let that sink in. Now, when you're practicing, when you're training, of course, if it's the first time you're learning on a new movement and a new technique, you take your time. You ask questions step by step, 1, 2, 3, and so on. But the moment you learn it, then that's when you have to start to crank it up, put the speed in, put the power in terms of the footwork, the connection, everything. And then once you have that going, boom, repetition, left side, left side, left side, right side, right side, left, right, left, randomly, in and out. So then you get to a point where it becomes natural for you to express the technique the way it should be done in a real situation. And I encourage you all to work on it randomly. It doesn't matter which level you're at, beginner, intermediate, advanced, random training, random repetition is the way to go. And guys, if you do every single point the way I've explained it, it's inevitable you will gain confidence. And trust me when I say confidence is the key, because confidence is the engine that moves, you know, the machine. Without confidence, you won't be able to pull it off. So you need that confidence. You need to practice with all sorts of different students. Don't always work with the same person every single time, because then you'll get into your comfort zone and everyone's got strengths and weaknesses. So you want to try and experiment by trying to apply the technique with different people and see how you go. And that will help you boost your confidence. And with confidence, trust me when I say this, with confidence, chances are 9 out of 10 times you won't even need to get into a confrontation because of how you handle yourself if the day comes where you need to put someone in their place. Because everyone can sense and see and feel someone confident. Okay, so build your confidence, and that confidence comes through how you position yourself, body posture, shoulders back and down, and eyes looking at the other person straight to their eyes, your stance, how you position your hands, you know, telling someone to keep their distance or to back off, and how you project your voice. Everything comes from confidence. If you shrug, you don't look at their eyes, you just look down at their feet, your voice goes in, then that gives, you know, let's call it the bully, a chance to step up because they feel that they can take advantage of you. But if you stand your ground and you show your confidence, that person will back off. And if they don't, well, that's when you get into your training and then you use every point, every element I've already discussed. So in my opinion, these are the key strengths in the Wing Chun system. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, guys. I know I did. And I look forward to seeing you next week. And take care of yourselves. God bless. Bye-bye.